Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are going to be talking about the difference between soul spirit in just a moment. But first, I want to invite our callers to join us here. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. I'm posting the show now as I speak. Again, that call-in number is 914-338-0164. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And as I was saying, I was sharing the show on our Facebook page. We do invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. We have a few pages. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And I'll try to remember to announce the number throughout the show today. But first, before we get into our discussion, I want to reference a previous show about a week ago. We were talking about what's happening in the world with race relations and now entitled white women are being called Karens, women that call the police on black people or people of color without any just cause. You know, that's this new term that's being applied to middle-aged white women. And I suspect that it's going to be applied to offenders and non-offenders alike. So it's another, you know, biased term that's been come up with. But it's funny because on that show, I was saying, I'm glad they didn't call them Kristens instead of Karens. So in the meantime, I was dealing with an issue with some data loss on my laptop with Apple, and I had an advisor that I was dealing with, and the advisor had tried to call me early, and I missed the call because I wasn't expecting the call early, and so I emailed him back and said, listen, I tried to get back to you right at the time of our appointment. You didn't answer, so on and so forth. But anyway, in the reply to me, he said, "Dear Karen," I thought it was
maybe a little.
Well, you thought it was. I said, "I don't know. I think it was maybe a slip. Maybe it was subconscious that this person did that. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like there was no animosity in our exchange when we spoke about the issue on the phone." But I was a little bit irritated that the call came early. And then when I tried to call back and I was put on hold for 15 minutes trying to reach an advisor, that I was annoyed. And so I said, listen, you know, you called me early, not at the appointed time, and I wasn't by the phone. So.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't remember someone's name, what sometimes people do is they, and it's not appropriate, but they do gross generalizations. Like if you're white, like now the current term might be you're white, so they consider a white grouping in a name, like Karen. Maybe if you're black and you're a bigot, they don't know your name, so they call you Jethro or something, or Sambo or something like that. It's derogatory, but what happens is that we have a problem when we group classifications of
right.
people or races as one, and we give them a common name.
I mean, you thought it was more intentional. You thought it was intentional.
Might have been.
And I now kind of think it may have been. I did get another email from him with the correct name. I don't know how he could forget my name, really, because he has it on paper. I mean, he has the case with my name on it when he's referencing it. So how he could call me Karen
might
when he's looking.
Might have been at the moment. Maybe he was thinking of something. It doesn't sound like it
you
was
know.
Intentional on his part.
Well,
but we do that, you know.
It was. I thought it was funny, actually. I mean, I wasn't mad. I thought it was. It amused me, considering the fact that we discussed it on the show.
Yeah.
I brought it up, and then suddenly I was being called a Karen.
You know, it just. It,
However,
it, it's
unintentional
the same
or not.
As in the deep South in the past, you could call blacks boys here, come here, boy, or you call Jew or Jude or something like that. You know, Moses, everybody's named Moses. It's people who
bad.
Tend to think in stereotypes or who have strong connections to bigotry will oftentimes use common names to describe a particular kind of person. And it's you know, it's in that regard, racially speaking, politically speaking, humanistically speaking, it's a terrible thing to do. Comedians will make great use of it, and it becomes kind of a humorous
thing.
Well,
I think that's what's the shame too, though, about now walking on eggshells, having to walk on eggshells because of race. I mean, I am not someone who promotes prejudice by any race towards another or any ethnic group towards another. But now comedians, I mean, you have to be so careful. And personally, I found comedians like Don Rickles and Rodney Dangerfield very funny. I mean, they were extremely off color, but, you know, that humor at that time, you know, it was acceptable. I guess now it's not. I guess, you know,
yeah,
they're going to be eliminating all, you know, you can't make jokes about.
It's a very delicate field we're in right now.
But I do think that there's going to be more acceptance of making fun of white people. I do think there's more, that's more politically correct.
Well, you know, blacks speaking to a black audience will make fun of white people. I mean, we, you know,
yeah,
anybody,
that's what
and
I'm
people
saying.
Make fun
so,
of their culture. There's a lot of Japanese comedians who make fun of their culture. There's a lot of Italians who make fun of their culture. There's this one guy that's really funny. I forget his name.
We've
seen him mix something.
No,
But you know, it's we have. It's also good not to be so defensive and to relax and to enjoy our characteristics. But it when it becomes something that is a matter of life and death, prejudice, holding people
Sebastian Maniscalco.
Yeah, holding people back in job opportunities. It's somewhat devastating. I mean, even the LA Times is now being attacked because they haven't really hired people of diversity. They haven't hired minorities, and they're trying to correct that as we speak. Now in Disneyland, you can't. The Splash Mountain is now going to be the Princess
that.
And the Frog.
Because Splash Mountain was in Song of the South, and
Song of the South is considered a terribly bigoted movie, but. You know, we have Zippity Doodah in those songs, Uncle Remus.
Which
know,
is obviously a gross stereotype.
It is a gross stereotype.
But
the actor at the time was very talented. And when I saw it as a boy, I found, you know, it was just fun. It was a heartwarming movie. And when the movie came out, it was considered a monumental move for Disney. It was a actual movie. But within the movie, there were cartoons with Bear Rabbit, Bear Fox. It was a introduction to Mary Poppins, even though Mary Poppins combined animation within the movie. But so did Song of the South. Uncle Remus would be talking, and the bluebirds would be flying around him. And it was a kind of a heartwarming story, and it was emotional. But again, it was the conduct of it was full of bigotry and prejudice.
So, I mean, Gone with the Wind is now being brought back onto HBO Max, but there's going to be some kind of preface explanation behind the history of it.
I don't know where we stop. You know, do we not see Ben-Hur now because they were slaves? The Ten Commandments, you know, the people, the Jews being let out of
Egypt.
And, you know, Ever G. Robinson mocking Moses about God. I mean, now do we have to take that scene out? I don't know. You know, even our statues and things that are difficult to deal with, I think it's difficult to erase the past.
Well, yeah, I mean,
putting an explanation by a statue, and it might be offensive. I mean, I'm sure that Jews wouldn't want to put up a statue of Hitler saluting next to a synagogue. Yeah. I mean, there's a certain degree of discretion there, and downright sort of an emotional crime that can be committed. But
yeah, and in California, the missions obviously were
Jesuit priests,
Fort
Bragg now is. I mean,
it's happening here
correct.
As well as in the South because there are Confederate statues being removed there. But we had missionaries here that are, you know, revered, and the missions. I mean, we went to a mission, San Juan Capistrano, a couple of years ago, just for an excursion, and. I mean, watching the videos, I mean, it's, you know, about how
they,
which is not what's being represented at the mission. I mean, they're representing it like, you know,
it's not so much erasing history as revealing the truth.
Well, the truth, what I was trying to say is the truth wasn't being represented. Watching the videos at the mission, like, you know, the missionaries were doing this great service to indigenous people. Bringing them religion and education, it was actually horrible for them.
Yeah.
And so we were aware, I mean, it was kind of disgusting way, but, you know.
Well, you know, to sort of steer this into our discussion, body, mind, and soul and spirit, the lower you are on the energy field of existence, the more you're going to experience discrepancies like this and crimes of attitude. When you're dealing with the difference between the soul and the spirit is pretty strongly apparent. The soul is still conducted by the brain. And the brain and the soul still have a link. Now our physical brain is linked to our body, our thoughts. The heartbeat of the body is the heart, but the heartbeat of the soul is the brain. And the brain is what carries the energies of earthly journeys through time and space. So the soul is also susceptible to condemnation, judgment, because it's filled with thought content. Now, that isn't to say that it's the same as the brain itself in the physical body, but we don't use the brain entirely. So parts of the brain that we aren't using, we could designate as being corridors towards the soul that carries deeper energies through time, space, and history. The highest energy is the spirit, and that spirit is devoid of soul and body, and it's basically breath and light. And when we talk about breath and light, we talk about, in general terms, God. God breathed into man a living soul, not a living spirit, but a living soul, using man as a terminology for biblical purposes.
Yeah, but we want to make sure we're politically correct.
but it's not that God is light, like it's light, like a light bulb. It's an energy source. it's an internal energy source, so the connotation is light. But the attitude of soul, taken in the Hebrew, it's a different word. It starts with a P. I can't recall what the word is at this moment. But it's considered, so the breath that is breathed into us starts to conduct our journey through the planet, that we are more than just the body, that we are connected to something deeper that
Nefesh.
Transcends our energy.
Nefesh. Nefesh.
Yeah, that's one term, and then there's another one.
All I see is soul.
There's an Egyptian term, starts with a P.
Okay. Wow.
That it also represents how the soul is really represented. It's not really called the soul. The soul is a human term, but an Americanized term. But the root word is breath.
Kaba is. It says the ka, ba, and ah.
It starts with a P, I can't recall.
Okay.
But so when we get into, there's a journey that we are multi-layered, that we're on. We're on a body journey, which is the conduct of our life in our particular lifetime. So that's one whole chapter. That's one whole book. Then there's a soul journey, which involves all of our journeys through time and space, which also is the collection of all of our thoughts and all of our prejudices and all of our talents, everything that we have on more of a universal level of time is involved in our soul. So when the body dies, it collects the energy of our lifetime in that particular lifetime, and that is incorporated into a generalized or more significantly abundant energy field of life through time and space that we've had in other lifetimes. And all of that is collected in a large assembly room. It's like the difference between being in a nightclub and being at the Hollywood Bowl for a concert. You're in a massive energy field. It's not secular anymore. It's not singular. There isn't anything that involves just one specific point in time. That's the soul. And the soul is still our promise that we are connected to the universal being, because after death, we have our soul and spirit to rely on. So the content of the soul is either going to bring us back to the earth through karma, or it's going to help us transcend slowly but surely to the spirit, whereby when we are in pure spirit, we're lacking a soul and a body. Christ said, "Don't touch me." After his death, he was in spirit. And the gifts, it's not the gifts of the soul. No one says the gifts of it. It's the gifts of the spirit, which, and it's more than just a light. The gifts of the spirit is condensed into also words, love, compassion, things like this, respect,
humility, faith, yeah. Charity.
If those are the gifts of the spirit, there's some linkage to some mystery that the spirit itself is more than just a source of light and eternal breath. There's something emotionally bound beyond the spheres that we are seeking to get to, where we have no longer attached to anything that has to do with this planet or anything that has to do with the wanderings of the soul. And that's one of the biggest differences between the three elements, mind, body, and soul. Or body, soul, and spirit. The soul depends a lot on the body, because if the body is too heavy in negative energy, for want of a better term, that soul is going to be reduced to physicality. It's going to have to keep wandering on the planet until it, all through all those incarnations, there's finally a transcendent moment in time where the soul is released from the body, and voila, there's no return to the earth.
Right, but on that note, even if the soul is released from the body, oftentimes the soul is released to the lower astral field, not necessarily a higher astral plane. We have a caller.
Yeah.
So, caller. I mean, in terms of being released automatically to the spiritual energy, not, I mean, it's great to release the body, but sometimes a soul has to still shed.
Oh yeah.
Layers.
The intensity of the astral level is infinite. There are so many levels to get through to where you keep rising and rising and rising until you hit the epitome of spirituality. And who knows how to describe that, but we can talk in earthly terms about the walk of the body and possibly the walk of the soul, and we can allude to elements of the spirit, but to actually be in spirit, you have to be devoid of body and soul. That doesn't mean you can't allude to the spirit or have a spiritual experience or be in the essence of spirit. But to be purely spirit, you'd have to be detached.
Okay, let's bring on this caller. I'm having problems with my pen. Hi. 856, you're on there.
Hello, Duo. How are you two?
Oh, hey, Gwendolyn.
It's Gwendolyn.
Hey, I recognized your number but couldn't place it. And it's your birthday.
It is. I was just on my way home from running an errand, and I'm like, I must share with you two. I want to call and say thank you so, so much. This year has been one heck of a year, and for all you do all the time and for all the checkpoints that I've called in for, I cannot thank you enough. It's a beautiful place to be, turning 51 today. So I was just hoping, like, if there's any messages from my spirit guides or the team, or you have anything. Other than that, I just want to say thank you. I love you both. You're so beautiful.
Oh, that's so nice, Wendland. Thank you so much, and happy birthday. Thanks for calling on your birthday. I'm glad I remembered it.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing today? Anything special?
You know what? I went, and I ended up with a walk-in appointment to get my feet done, sat in lucky seat number 7, and now I'm going to get ready and go to the beach and just enjoy the sun. I've been working crazy hours since the virus has been over, so they helped me just have one full day off today, which was a great thing at work because I never call out. I always go to work. So I am going to go to the beach today and then probably have the dinner with a friend's mom tonight and enjoy it. Yep. I'm going to enjoy the accomplishments of the whole shebang. The journey's been crazy, and it's, you know, the journey with the, you know, my family situation is coming to a close. Just found out I'm going to be a grandmother and have a grandson, and I'm expecting daughter to. Yes, yes. So I'm expecting the daughter to probably move in when her lease ends in August. She's going to need my help. So things are, like, shifting and changing, but I've been in a really great place, and, you know, I keep myself well-protected energy-wise, and, you know, I just keep on keeping on, living the journey.
Well, you know, Gwendolyn, you're on a cycle of your master number this year, the 17th cycle of your master number 3, so it is a time... 17th cycle,
yeah.
17th cycle mm-hmm. of 3. So it is a big, you know, this is a big change, time of change for you. And it sounds like you're in a much better place than you've been in the last couple of years, because there's been a lot of drama going on with your family, the custody issues. Have those somewhat resolved at all?
Well, the court had their knee on his throat, and he's facing some criminal charges in for paperwork that he put in. And I'm allowed to press charges in addition to that. Right now, we're wrapping up the loose ends. Yes, I will be pressing those charges on fraud. You know, you can't misrepresent your financials, and he did. And he's played games, and last time he didn't show up at court yet again, another failure to appear. So he has sanctions on him, penalties on him, and, we have our knee on his throat. So it's about one or two more to go is what I'm feeling, possibly just one more. But, you know, if any of that can be affirmed, okay, great. Otherwise, you know, whatever comes through.
Well, you know, Gwendolyn, when we get into numerical vocabulary, and you are a 39 equals 12 equals 3, and you're 51, you are 12 years beyond the age of 39 now. So if you are 12 years beyond the age of 39, that incorporates itself into the reduction of your 39 into 12. So you're being 12 beyond the age of 39 fits neatly into a pattern of the reduction of your karma. You're reducing your karma. Even as you turn 51, you're starting to reduce your karma. Your grandmother, you sound so much healthier and happier than when we first encountered you. Your brain, your psyche seems more centered and balanced. So, and you're even celebrating your own attitude of mind. So we're in a zone right now. Now the prospect of things improving are abundant because the code in your birth date is 69 in your year. That's a rise of energy. It's a rise of 3, which is your master number, and 9 is the eternal number. So your ability to complete your existence as it speaks in this lifetime, to get the work done in this lifetime, you're on the right path. Now, where that takes you after you cross over will be a whole different storyline. But what we have to focus on is to make sure you do everything in this lifetime you need to do, which is seems to be coming into fruition as we speak. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a very good thing that you've gotten through your turmoil in that regard. So I would suspect that 51 is going to be a year of abundance.
Amen. Amen. I so deserve it. I have worked so hard. All of you on my journey have just been absolutely wonderful. I cannot be more grateful, more thankful, and I am going to keep pedal to the metal and keep on keeping on. And from what we shared in a past conversation, this is my last reincarnation in a human lifetime. So I look forward to just going back to divine essence. I have no interest in coming back into a human life ever again. I just want to rest. My soul is so old and so tired, but excited at the ending and then crossing over and staying in divine essence for eternity. That's exactly what I want.
Increase your volume to spiritual
energy. Yeah.
Increase your volume to donating your time to charities and efforts. The right thing.
Absolutely.
Make sure that when you've left the planet, you've gone beyond your ego.
Yeah, because
you've given something to the world.
Because it's great. It's great that you are getting yourself together. But now that you're getting yourself together, the next step would be to, you know, start doing things that are sacrifices, not just in your, you know, in immediate family unit or with your friends, but to the general world at large. That is going to count for a lot once you do cross over, because you know, being of service is part of a big part of establishing a transcendent essence.
Yeah, and I mean,
that is exactly what I want to do. I want to help people that go through a system that is broken, has its own failures, to make it better for them, to share my experience through this 4-year journey, and help other people to not have to suffer along the way like I did. And I believe that that is where I'm going to go with it. And I always wake of service every day, either to myself or everyone or anyone around me, as we should rise every day. Dear God, thank you. How can I be of service? You know, I know that in my mind. I don't even need to speak the words because I wake with that intent every single day. So I intend to help others, and I'm helping others even as we speak around me. But yes, I want to bring it to the people who are suffering and are not able to do it the way I did it
and have no idea how to go about getting the things done that I was able to get done because I'm built the way I'm built, the knowledge that I have, using the wisdom and all the resources available to me. And I want to bring that to others so that it's available for them. That has always been my dream. Transition is and can be a very demanding, challenging time for some. But in the domestic violence world, through gaslighting and whatnot, there are too many people, both men and women, and that are suffering because of it. And in turn, it causes the children suffering, which it is not supposed to. We are supposed to be of love, and they are. The children are supposed to come first. The rest of it needs to be fixed for the children.
Yeah, there's a lot of broken. I mean, you know, it's our society is not on a. I mean, in some ways there are improvements, but in a lot of ways we're breaking down more and more as a society. So,
yes, it's like one big tower, global tower moment, right?
Yeah. So it's. I mean, people are needed in the world that are going to help to uplift, and
that I intend to do. That I intend to do.
You know, think of a way where you can volunteer yourself to a cause or a group, and do it specifically. It's nice to help people along the road of life. You know, you see somebody poor, you give them $1.
Well, even at a woman's shelter, I mean, you could work at could volunteer at a woman's shelter, a battered woman's shelter. Doing the laundry. It's a part.
Right.
If they're not allowing you to counsel people, which they may not at this point because you don't have like the appropriate training, even doing that, you know, and being in a role of humble service is going to be excellent for the progression of your soul and spirit.
Yeah, but I've been killing all of my body the whole time we're speaking. Oh my goodness gracious. I'm so grateful.
Where are you working? Where are you working right now, Gwendolyn? Just real quick.
I work in a tourist town, and I work at a diner with a great team of people with wonderful bosses. We're all like family together, work well. It's a well-oiled machine, and we do really well there. And this is my second season with them. I moved closer to the job when my landlord was bringing the brother from Alabama and not renewing the leases. And when I pulled up in front, I stayed with a friend of mine here that I became close with last year. And then I pulled up in front of this rental that I was coming to see. And for the first time, the physical sensation that I had was like, you know, those swirly taffies, they start in the middle and then they get bigger, bigger, bigger. That is the swirl. And I said, this is where I'm going to live. The address at their place was 201 and mine is 210. So I knew as soon as I felt that, because I had never been given that type of a physical affirmation. It was so distinct, I just knew. And I love it where I'm at. And I'm 2.5 blocks from work, 2 blocks from the beach. I get my grounding, I get my quiet time, and I'm in a good place and space now.
And 2-1's in your code. I mean, it's your 12 in your karmic reduction. We're just talking about how you're 12 years beyond.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting to address, but it correlates to your master number and to that karmic reduction of the 39. So,
amen. Amen. Do any of my spirit guides have any message before I thank you both and go on to the beach for the day?
Well, the one message I'm getting is so sort of recycles what we've been saying, and that is before the sun sets on your life, make sure that sun is fulfilled. That before it sets, just make sure you fulfilled everything we've discussed so that when that sun dips in the ocean, the horizon, you're going to be reborn, but maybe in a higher sphere, maybe in a different kind of journey next time around, Gwendolyn. And maybe even at this moment in time, this small brief reading will will re-echo in your soul after you descended into the, you know, ascended into a higher sphere.
Oh gosh, don't.
Where you
I know. I'm just.
I can no, not for nothing, but I am going to do it to it. You know I am, because I just want to go home. I look forward to it. I look forward to it. Yes, amen. I'm done. It's been so many lifetimes that that's it for me. I'd rather be on the other side and help from that end. This is the last run for me, and I'm going to keep it that way. So I will stick to that, and that was my intent when this stuff finished up. So now I know exactly how and where to go and be of service in the way for the many. So thank you both so, so much. It's wonderful to speak with you both. I love you both for being on my journey. I love you both for being on the journey for everyone that is here, that you make yourself available to. I love you guys. Peace out. Have a great day. I'm going to hit the beach and celebrate.
Fun, Gwendolyn. Okay, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Have a great day. Love you guys.
You sure.
Take care.
Bye.
Stay well.
You too.
Yeah, well.
See, she's improved. I'm glad. Things have gotten a lot better for her. The last 3 years have been difficult. I mean, we encountered her more than 3 years ago. It's been over 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been
many.
So that.
Eight.
They said if your TV show has gone through 7 years, you're immortal. Maybe. You know, we were 1 year above that, so we're in the eighth grade, so to speak. But
I'm,
getting
I'm,
back,
I'm feeling, yeah, feeling like a 13-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, I recall when I was first on the radio, it must have been, oh God, 1995 or something. That was when I first appeared on the radio. That was
Actually when it was still called radio, which it was actually considered a podcast. But
yeah, there was a show, Angels in Waiting, and I think that was the first.
That was like was it AM or FM show?
Angels, I don't know what it was. They contacted me and I was on the show, but I can't recall. I mean, the first time I was ever on the radio was back in about 1981. But that was regarding my work dealing with children that have been abused.
Not psychic work.
No, it wasn't psychic work, but it combined a sort of spiritual essence, because I was dealing with troubled kids and trying to raise their consciousness to a higher place and using a lot of games and things like that, kids that were abused. But the when you get into the, like we were talking about, the content of the soul is so different from the content of the spirit. We're lucky if we can even experience the essence of the spirit. Most of us
in the physical body.
The physical body. Most of us say we have, but you know, we're still inclined to be on the earth. So you can't entirely be in spirit. Now, some people might argue that, or they might say, you know, I've been reborn, or I've been saved, and I live in the spirit of Christ, or I live in the spirit of God, or Buddha, whatever. But we still are reduced to the elements of the earth.
Physicality and having to, like, you know, get up every day.
Get up every day, have to go to teams.
Yeah.
Even monks and nuns and hermits, and so to speak, self-exiled people who release themselves purely to spirit, they still have to do things of physicality, and it's a great routine. In fact, to make sure that they don't become too involved in physicality, monks and
they like
will
sleep
suffer.
They sleep on very uncomfortable cots. Metal
they don't
wire
want any
frame bed
linked to pleasure, a physical pleasure. But they find in that the attitude of spirit, because they find joy that transcends the physicality of life. They give up everything. And whatever they do on a physical plane, they do with great pain or displeasure.
But
they take joy in it.
Right. But still, that doesn't necessarily, who knows what the journey of their soul prior to the specific incarnation where they're sacrificing any bodily pleasures. Just because they do that in that specific lifetime doesn't necessarily mean they're going to transcend.
Well,
that's,
no. A suffering doesn't equate to spiritual awakening.
Right.
Spiritual awakening comes, we have two levels of suffering. Some people suffer through sheer karma because they're just bad and this is what their journey of life is going to be, to suffer. And some of us have come back realizing that this is the last time we plant our feet on the earth, and that so our attachments to the earth are not going to be as such, but because the earth has such a gravitational pull, it's going to fight with the spirit. And so it will say, well, if you're purely of spirit and we're purely of earth and you're on the earth, you're going to have to deal with us. So people of spiritual enlightenment will often suffer.
Right. There's tests of the spirit that they go through. That's what I was going to say, because people can suffer through karma, and there are people that may be born into poverty and live in, you know, terrible conditions and have difficulties, but they are on their last lifetime. So
they're
it's not,
lifetime.
It doesn't mean, you know, people equate transcendence sometimes on a physical plane with, you know, having comfort.
Yeah.
And wealth and, you know, family all around you and great friends and wonderful experiences. And that doesn't always really equate to transcendence, true transcendence.
No. But when we get into the true transcendence in terms of the walk on earth, whether you're Jesus Christ or Martin Luther King, you bleed tears of blood. You do suffer. You suffer through compassion. You suffer through the fact that you might not be able to solve the world's problems, but your dreams are involved in the process of rising the consciousness of humanity. And even though that may in the end be somewhat futile, and you're not going to be
right.
able to complete your task.
It doesn't always mean you're going to be at a level of Martin Luther King or a Jesus. Well, I mean, Jesus at the time was, you know, he had notoriety. I mean, he was hated by many, though he had his followers. But Martin Luther King was famous. People aren't going to necessarily rise to fame. They can be in their little corner of the world trying to raise consciousness and not reach many people at all.
Right. The smallest will be recognized. You know, you put, if you only have 2 cents and you put it in the pot and that's all you've got, that's meritable and that's significant. So our acts are that, it's sort of like looking at an ocean and realizing that it's still composed of molecules and droplets of water, even salt itself. There's a massiveness and there's a singularity involved in the universe. And so when we take that singular energy and we're crying and striving to be compassionate, but we're overwhelmed by the massiveness of the ocean, it's still significant to say that one drop made a difference. And I think that is where we are, even in our predicament today, in terms of this massive movement, whether it's a massive movement that threatens human life, as in the virus, or a massive movement that recognizes that all lives are valuable, including Black lives, that there's a great battle going on right now. And it's stretching throughout the globe. And so I think this is of significant value in terms of looking also at the war between the body, the soul, and the spirit. How that's, there's sharp divisions there.
Yeah, well, what another thing that's going on in the world is, and I read an article last night posted on an online forum that I read about fireworks, because apparently it's not, we're having a big fireworks problem. We always have. Before moving here, I never experienced anything like this on the 4th of July, much less the months preceding the 4th of July, and then all other major holidays where these mortars are set off. And apparently it's not limited to Southern California where this is occurring, but it's happening in all the major cities. There's been like a huge increase in the number of complaints. And so what I read in this article is that conspiracy theorists are saying that these are military operations also trying to disturb sleep patterns of people and get us used to this warfare going on, because war is coming.
Yeah.
That we're going to get
well,
into
you know, you're looking
a civil
at two
war
distinct,
here.
You're looking at two distinct root words, a noun and a verb. Fireworks. So if you're looking at fireworks, fire can work civil war, fire can work destruction, fire can work warmth and security. Fireworks. So it's sort of a connotation that in this regard, if fireworks, and the outstanding missing word is fireworks rebellion, fireworks disharmony, fireworks war. You know, I just don't look at the word fireworks. My ears are trained to listen to the language. And so when I see it and I hear the word fireworks, we think of fireworks. We think of a,
right,
a piece of a
noun.
Yeah. But it's not really. And the connotation now that we are still in the grips, like in the 1860s, we're still in the grips of a civil war. And we've got these issues have not over 100 years, 140 some years, that these issues have not really, more than that, 180.
Well, how could they be resolved? I mean, how could they really be resolved after all this time? I mean, even with the between women and men, that's unresolved too. I mean, women are second class citizens.
No, absolutely. We cannot get ourselves to release ourselves of disharmony and dissension and division. And when we have spokespeople that allude to in igniting a war or igniting division,
that's a firework.
Igniting. It's utterly destructive. So we're also in the sense that there is a great massive movement towards the issue of denial and awareness. I mean, to me, when we extend this back to our topic, I think spirituality is pure awareness. The soul is pure awareness. The body is what conduces us to be ignorant, because it's connected to the mind and that's connected to all kinds of earthly divisions of thought and behavior. But when we get into the attitude of purely being aware, and that awareness sometimes causes fire to work in ways that it might seem destructive, there's got to be a sense of renewal out of this, and not just destructive for its own terms. If someone is trying to use strife and civil disharmony as a means to gain power and remain in power, and use a lot of innuendos towards fear and warnings that are potentially threatening to our republic, I don't know. That doesn't seem to be the case. That's the highest value when we look at those terms. And it's when it's involving a sense of the forbidden knowledge of awareness of truth, then we get into a real system of disharmony, I think. But when we get into the idea that when people allude to higher things on these standards of thought, we could get into the attitude of the soul, because the soul still captures disharmony. The soul has nothing to do with essence. It's still a dichotomy of black and white, good and evil, right and wrong. The spirit transcends that. Spirit is not involved in those issues. It's oneness in the spirit. But
But we have 10 more minutes.
Yeah,
well, 10 more minutes. So we can finish early if you want.
And
the clock says 10 more minutes.
I don't think there's any concluding factor when it comes to the attitude of spirit and soul and trying to find the difference between the two. Some of our greatest thinkers and writers, including Shakespeare, puts the soul as a synonym to the mind.
That was weird. I was thinking of Shakespeare when I was not sleeping last night.
Yeah.
I really was.
You know, when we hear to be or not to be.
That is the question.
To be, well, it's an active verb, and it's incomplete. To be. As soon as you say the word to, you're not in completion. So to be or not to be. So the word in our lifetime is we are in the process of creating ourselves. And at the end of that, we have to define that existential idiom that is regarding what does be mean, to be. Is it merely to exist, that we exist, and that is the righteousness of breath, that we merely exist? Or is there a process in our existence where we have to formalize an accomplishment, that our lives have to matter for something, that we have to produce something? So to be or not to be, to me, is a totally existential question that doesn't rise to any conclusive factor or meaning. It's purely existential. So if we call Shakespeare's plays, his thoughts, as an existential condition of humankind, and that is the question. But the question itself doesn't connect to anything that's conclusive.
Well, it's not even examining to be or not to be, is just a matter of questioning existence, whether to exist or not. It's not questioning how.
Well, Shakespeare does go on and elaborate.
Right, but we're limiting our analysis
our conversation here
to that specific.
But to, you know, to encounter the throngs of death, to work through strife, to work through disharmony, to be victorious in the attitude of what we need to accomplish and what that road may require of us. That is the essence. Do we cower? Do we hide from the truth? Or do we look at what is wrong and try to make it right, even though those words are somewhat vague in matter and it's totally subjective? But that was the great question that we have to ask ourselves before we end our lives. Did we face our demons? Did we face the demons in the world? Did we transcend that? Or did we back off and become apathetic and ignorant? To me, probably the path to spirituality is you have to get into the awareness of the soul, not just the body. You just don't spend your life looking for the greatest recipe or I've perfected the greatest composition. You have to get into the fabric of what is existence, not just the works of existence, but existence itself.
Beyond the body.
Yeah.
Existence beyond the body.
In the soul. In the attitude of what is really the essence of why we are here. And you know, all accomplishments aside, which are great things, works of art and creations and movements that we do and acts that we enact that are that help people, we're all here, but we forget to recognize that we're all working under one ceiling, and that is to preserve our species with humility and humanity. And when we get into attitudes along the way where we fall short of those ideals, then we get into harsh debates that become bloody and deadly. Probably a shame that our universe, our world has that aspect. But well, even that is the occupation of the soul.
Right. But the problem, I mean, the problem is the varying levels of consciousness of everybody on the planet. I mean, we have disharmony on the earth because of that reason itself. So it's, you know, challenging.
Yeah.
It can be challenging.
Well, you know, if there's any enticing attitude that one can have, is that when you've reached spiritual essence, you're above all this.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't neglected it. You haven't buried it, but you've risen above it to a place to where you are in the attitude of spirit, which even transcends language and conditions itself. It's a place that some of us briefly tap into, or maybe that we spend a little bit more time than that there, but it's a hard place to attain. And you're right, Krista, once you reach the astral realm, you've left your body and you reach the astral realm, there are layers and layers and planes and domains whereby you keep rising higher and higher and higher, and it's for eternity. It's a great, massive journey that never ends. So,
but the show is coming to an end.
The show is coming to an end, and we had a special guest on today, Gwendolyn.
On her birthday. That's
and her birth date.
Very
nice. 6/26/69.
666.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Okay. So we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. I forgot to announce the number throughout the show, but 914-338-0164 is the call number for next time. Hope we hear from some of you then, and hope you have a great weekend. Peaceful weekend. Bye-bye.